I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Babe.
Hi.
I'm here with Tierney, Finster, T-Star 7.
Yes.
We're both really in summer looks right now.
Oh, my God, we look so fresh. We're a little dewy with sweat, but like pastelish.
Yeah. I think I'm channeling... You said that... Okay, so I'm wearing, like, for context for the readers. I'll tell you. So I saw these photos of Jackie O recently, and she's wearing like a scarf on her head. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to wear like a scarf on my head. And I have not worn it out of the house, but I'm just like getting comfortable with it being in the house. And I have like a tie-dyed scarf that I now I'm wearing on my head, but it reminds me of, it's a Carrie Bradshaw season 2 Sex and the City look.
It's very shapely. It's not like a bandana.
No.
But it's neither a turban either.
Mm-mm.
So it's like...
I feel like a turban might be taking things too far.
Definitely.
And then you told me that I looked like...
that famous writer.
David Foster Wallace.
It's giving me like mad chiller vibes.
It's really chill.
It's very like tie-dyed kundalini as well.
Mm-hmm. It's spiritual, sexy, literary.
It's also youthful.
Very youthful. So I've
perfect for summer.
Perfect for summer. I've yet to take it to the street. I'm feel comfortable with you seeing this because I appreciate your feedback.
And it's doing wonders for your eyes because there's some blue in the scarf.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty confident about it.
Lavender, lilac.
But like, I don't know if I'd want to run into like Ryan or Jonathan wearing it just yet.
I mean. Yeah.
Like, it could get, like, there could be a moment where I get...
roasted in a way that's roasted, a little bit too real.
Too soon to be roasted.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the severity of the roast. Mine is cheeky. I could see the scarf, causing a serious roast.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to protect myself.
Yeah, that's what kundalini is called. The womb.
But I had... Okay, so I have an interesting thing to share.
Yay.
Which is that I went on a breakfast date with a gentleman of a certain age.
Yes.
That age being like 70.
Wow. Did he pay you?
No.
Is that rude?
No, but that definitely crossed my mind. I was like, is this something that could be?
Could be.
But I don't think that's his vibe.
I remember, you're like, Daddy, are you rich enough? Like, so where did you eat breakfast, or what type of place did you eat breakfast?
We went to Kings Road Cafe.
Okay.
And we'd met this weekend at like a Grateful Dead or a Jerry Garcia band cover band show. Yeah. So he's like on a deadhead tip. Yeah, in the mood. And I just thought to myself, like, I was intrigued.
Yeah, why not?
I've post Staircase, David Rudolph, I feel like, has opened up a whole new
genre.
Yeah.
It's a hot genre, too.
Yeah. And I also, it's a respectful genre.
Oh, yeah. In terms of how they treat you.
Yeah. So respectful.
Totally.
Which I love.
The pussy's on a pedestal with the older men.
With senior citizens.
Yeah. I keep hearing this term. I never even knew it till recently. Like octogenarian.
Octogenarian.
Yeah. That's like your new sapiosexual type.
It is. And I kept thinking, like, I was like, okay, well, I'm intrigued by this person. He like sought out my contact information.
He has good taste. Yeah.
For my friends that I was with. And I was like, okay, what's the harm? Like, there's truly no harm. And like,
no.
You know, love is love and age has no limits.
No.
Yeah. And so I'm just kind of like, I'm intrigued and we'll see.
I don't associate you with a lot of older guys in the past, though, even the most free-spirited times. Like, I don't have any image recollections of that. So it is new waters.
It's very new waters.
I like it. I love an older man.
I kind of love it.
I'm sure you're like little Miss Daddy. Like,
I know. I was like, I'm really just looking for like a father figure.
Which is cool, especially if they make you come.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm like
ready
for that element.
So you're just like having a platonic date?
We're just having a friendly discussion. A family vibe.
You're creating a family from the dead.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I don't know.
Where was your deadhead event?
It was at the Mint. It's like indoors. Yeah, indoors.
Cool.
It doesn't, you know.
I thought it was like festy.
No, it doesn't have to be a festival. A lot of these events are indoors.
I had no idea deadheads went indoors.
Yeah, they do.
I learned a lot about deadheads from Roseanne. That was really my biggest exposure, because like she names the baby Jerry Garcia in the show.
On the reboot or the original?
Original.
Who's the baby?
I think it's her own baby she had too. Like, I don't know, it was like
did she have a baby after DJ?
Yeah, she had little Jerry Garcia.
What?
Yeah,
I didn't know this.
He's like really cute blonde cherub kid, and like,
and she said your name is Jerry Garcia.
Yeah, there's a really infamous amazing episode of Jackie and Roseanne going on a road trip, like when Roseanne's deeply pregnant and is sort of having this existential like, fuck, it's coming, like let's go have a little fun or something. And I don't know what ensues, but like there's some psychedelic dream or discovery, or she's like meeting people on the road with little signs, and it's all Grateful Dead. So that's like how I kind of got into the culture, but that's pretty much where I've stayed.
She really latched on. Like, she wasn't like listening to the music. She just like met a lot of deadheads and really connected with that
that's
culture.
That's my recollection, but I don't know exactly. I think she already was a fan in the show.
Oh, okay.
But then some stuff was stirred and little Jerry Garcia was born.
Wow. And his name is just Jerry Garcia. What's
Connor.
Their Connor.
Jerry Garcia Connor. He looks so cute, too. I'm going to show you him later.
I need to see pics of Jerry Garcia Connor.
I don't know why.
Connor.
I remember my mom telling me that that was her real son, but she could have likely made that up.
Yeah. I'm shocked that Roseanne has links to the Grateful Dead.
Mm-hmm. I believe, yeah, as well as Blues Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of music. That, I don't know. I feel like you know those genres of
the intersection.
Well, silly rock. I don't know.
Silly. I take actual offense to Grateful Dead being called silly rock.
I heard you talking to Ed and you were saying something was too silly for your taste. Fish. And I was like, well, it must be silly.
Yeah, it's way too silly. It's pure silliness.
Who loves
silly rock?
Fish? Like, doesn't Katie from Vanderpump Rules or...
I don't know.
Someone like that. Whether it's her or someone in my real life that looks like that loves fish.
They're one of the Broad City girls. Yeah. Who
don't
just,
they look alike?
No, they don't look alike.
Abby
and Katie Maloney.
That's what who
they
I was
don't
thinking
look alike.
Of, my friend Abby.
But Abby like just had a picture that she met all the fish band members.
She deserves that.
She deserves that. Like, I was happy for her.
Public joking she's done about it.
Yeah. I was really happy for her, but I wasn't like jealous because I was just like, they're too silly.
Yeah, it's not your vibe.
It's not my vibe. I would have been incredibly jealous if it was like Dead and Company.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, you can meet them soon.
Yeah, I feel like one of these days.
I mean, I feel like your breakfast date would totally love your scarf look.
Yeah.
That's something safe about him.
I think he is like a safe person to wear experimental fashion around.
Which is a requirement for a real relationship.
Yeah. So we'll see. But I wanted to also, okay, so we got like a lot of conspiracy theory feedback based on our top, our talk about like the Pizzagate truther.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I was thinking about the conspiracy thing because, I know the conspiracy that I was saying right after we went to eat, after we're doing that. And I remembered a conspiracy I wanted to speak about. But then I was reflecting on that and feeling like, why were we even talking about conspiracies? But it was the truther.
Yeah, it was the truther.
Based on the reader mail of
The Britney.
Interacting online with like different views.
Do you intervene or just let a truther live their truth?
Let them truth.
You always let them truth.
Yeah.
Wait, what was your theory that you wanted to talk about?
Oh, it was Kat Marnell tweeting about the about Anna Wintour only loving short hair.
Yes.
And she was saying that she was obsessed with Renee Zellweger during like the main 2000s Zellweger streak.
Her Chicago
era. Basically, Zellweger was in vogue, like, way more than she needed to be based on what she was, even if she was having a successful acting career, that, like, they're, like, having her to be this, like, fashion plate for no apparent reason other than her short hair.
Yeah, I remember that and feeling confused
and
by
always
that.
Just see, like, such a magazine person, you know, like, she's always in them. And then once she was sort of not in the picture anymore, it became Carrie Mulligan, who
she had a real moment.
Always has her in vogue. And then she was saying that the only fashion editors that she worked with at Condé Nast when she was still in the beauty department there, they both, like, cut their hair. Most notably, Eva Chen from, like, Instagram now does all the fashion stuff. That she cut her hair before she was promoted by Anna, basically. And that even in her wedding, she has hair extensions making her hair long, but she took them out for work right before and right after her wedding.
Wow.
So that was sort of the icing on the cake of that conspiracy for me.
That is like, I believe that.
Yeah,
because Anna has short hair.
Exactly.
And she wants like-minded short-haired women to be around.
And of course there's beautiful hair of every length, but I feel like these two examples that were raised of Zellweger and Mulligan, who I'm really unclear on who she is. Like, did she date Shia LaBeouf at one point?
She dated Shia, and then
I think that's the only reason.
And then
I know
she
her
really
name.
Came like she threw down in Shame. Like that was, like her breakout role. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, yeah. But, like, I feel like the type of short hair they both have is pretty
similar.
You know what I mean? It's not, like, a very... There's a lot of different types of short hair, so we shouldn't pigeonhole.
I just, like, could not go that short, I don't think. I would feel very naked with a short hair moment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, like, you want to have these positive politics of, like, all length is amazing and, like, whatever your hair is, embrace it, you know? But, I mean, I guess I'm just trying to say that when I cut my hair short, because it was all so dead from, as we discussed, being platinum, I wasn't sitting in front of a mirror because my friend was cutting it for me. And when I looked in the mirror, it was the first time that I ever drank from sadness. Because I always made that like a rule. Like I never was really doing that.
Yeah.
And I went straight for the booze when I saw my hair. Like, what the fuck? Like it was such a huge shock and horrible thing for me.
Yeah. The last time I cut my hair short, it was like I just like got in the mood to do it. And then it was like a really, it's always been like kind of just like a very quick decision.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, do it. And then I was really into it for like 3 days. And then I was just like, fuck, why did I do this? Like, it's going to take 2 years to get back to the length that it was.
Like right now I'm finally feeling like I felt with my hair length pre-blonde, which if you look at photos, it was still extremely longer back then, but it's so exciting.
Yeah. Like the longer.
It's just about
how
you like to feel. Like I like to feel pretty femme. And so I don't know. A little curl down your back. So nice.
I like a hair touching like the back of my arm.
Yeah.
Or like
exactly.
A hair bra. Like, oh. Yeah. What is that? What's that feeling?
Nico will like pass me my friend and be like, oh, look at this hair. But really I've laid it out. Like I'm like totally basking in it purposely. He's like, oh, look at this hair. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, you noticed?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Who, me?
But I think of you with like long hair. You're so don't know. It's not even beachy, but it's just very, like, femme, flirty. I've always known you with long hair.
Yeah. I've always known myself best with long hair.
But looking at you, like, you have a shorter layer in the front.
Mm-hmm. I like a short layer in
the
front.
Yeah, when I'm looking at it, like, if it was all that length, it would be super cute, too.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be, but that's still like way longer than these short hair fashion people we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. No, the short hair fashion people is like a Kristen Doty, like bob.
Yeah.
Which I can't, like, I couldn't.
I don't even know what her hair looks like.
I think it's just kind of like thin.
I'm surprised that she doesn't have extensions go off. She doesn't need them. Nobody needs anything, but.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see her with like a gorgeous long hair.
I think she would look hot with like a little bit more length and volume, because Doty is hot, but like something.
Just, you have hair problems with her.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. What are some other conspiracies? I want to see like what other people were saying.
That Beyonce didn't carry her baby.
Oh, yeah. Beyonce didn't carry her first one. Baby. I think that's true.
Yeah. I mean, I've always...
I have on pretty good authority that that's true. I feel weird saying that in like an area that it can be like recorded and then somehow get back to her, because like I don't want to mess with her like vibe.
But we are journalists.
We're journalists. We owe it to ourselves and the community.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I have never thought Beyonce did carry that baby.
The second that she sat down in that foam belly thing, I was like, no, the jig's up.
I don't think it matters. And I think she sure as heck showed us that she did carry the twins.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
The second that that foam thing happened, she had to then just pretend, like, go die hard of, like, I am carrying this baby. Like, because you can't really back down from that and be like, I got a surrogate, like... I messed up, like, sorry.
You might wonder how I got here, like. Yeah.
You probably were wondering how it got to this point. Yeah. So you had to just go, you either admit the lie and like come clean, or you lean in even further and like go full Monty.
I believe most situations.
Yeah,
don't lie, but if you do,
if you
keep
do,
it going.
Yeah.
Why?
When caught in a lie, this is something people used to say at boarding school, which was, when caught in a lie, deny, deny, deny.
The community was teaching one another.
Yeah, the students would teach each other, because we'd always like be encouraged to like cop out on each other.
That's
or like
horrible.
Cop out on ourselves. And so they would just
they
pressure
would
you.
And say it like that?
Yeah, cop it was called out. Copping out. You had to cop out. Like, every few months you had to write cop out lists of like every bad thing that you did, or and like, and not only things that you did, but things that you know about other people.
That is so creepy.
Yeah. So then it was, when caught in a lie, deny, deny, deny.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Everyone deny.
Yeah.
I don't know. Conspiracies.
Chloe. Oh, someone had emailed Chloe
being
and OJ.
OJ's kid.
Yeah. But that's like also, I feel like, just truth.
We know that's true.
Yeah. That's no longer a conspiracy.
No, I mean, I don't think there's any ethical problem. I mean, people are like, or no, not people. Chloe would be like, how dare you talk about my father like that, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's like, how dare you not recognize your true father? It's mean to Uncle Juice to like not let him be a dad to her.
Yeah.
Well, I bet he wants to be.
I'm sure he wants to be, and I'm sure he's, like, reached out or whatever. And, like, I feel like the way that everyone partied back then, like, in OJ's heyday,
yeah.
Like, they were all swinging
wives.
Yeah,
yes.
That was, like, a common practice.
Totally.
So it's not wild to think that Kris Jenner could have gotten knocked up by him.
Not at all. I mean, and maybe Chloe doesn't really think it. Like, maybe the relationship between her and Kris is such that she's
Kris
really
is not
maintained
telling the truth.
That.
Yeah. When caught in a lie, deny,
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 deny, deny.
That sounds like a Kris Jenner,
yeah,
like, mantra. Yeah.
Totally.
There was...
Oh,
also,
I know a new...
What is it? What is it?
The new conspiracy is that Kanye and Amanda Lepore had a relationship pre-Kim, and that because Travis Scott is on Good Music, that's part of the reason, or that is the reason that Amanda Lepore was removed from the Travis Scott album cover.
Mm-hmm.
That basically, once Kanye saw it, he
was
wanted
like,
his trigger, his queer trigger,
yeah,
like removed. obviously that's not something that Travis or David LaChapelle have commented on. And
Travis did comment on
it. Yeah, he commented on it, but he wasn't. But then like, everyone trolled. Oh, Kanye hated it because he fucked Amanda. Yeah, so we had to get rid of it.
But everyone was trolling because his statement, they were like, Kris Jenner wrote that. Like, they were like, great words by Kris Jenner.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think like.
I love queer trigger.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that's like. I once wrote a fanfiction. Did I send you the Kanye fanfiction I wrote?
No, I want to read it.
It is so good. Wait,
will you bring it next time and read it? Okay.
I definitely will. And like, it really deserves a home because so many things changed right after. You know how like last year was like pregnancy, da-da-da, like many changes happened. But for a while, it had been stagnant as fuck with the Kardashians. And that's why I think so much change happened.
Mm-hmm.
But so like, I didn't get to share my fiction more widely because so many changes happened that then it was like dispelled, but some of the truths remain salient and I would love to share.
Yeah, you need to, I need a reading on the next episode. Queerness
and masculinity, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that a lot of men, I mean, I think that a lot of people, this is kind of proven, exists on like a scale.
Yeah.
And are interested or have flirted with the idea of engaging in like queer sex.
Yeah.
And I don't think that there's a problem with that. Like anyone that listens to this podcast knows that above all, I value bisexual men.
Totally.
And I like urge them. Flexibility
for everybody in terms of anything. Like who cares what.
And not even like having to put like a label or a name on it. It's just like oriented towards truth,
which is desire, which is not like a dogmatic label. And so I just feel like Travis, like even if Kris wrote it or whatever, like it was cool that he said something. One, I thought it was unfair because I know that Travis's main stylist is an amazing, iconic trans woman. So mm-hmm. I'm like, he's for sure not removing her in like a transphobic way, or at least that was my perspective on it.
Yeah.
So I think it's good he offered context, but what I thought was funnier and a little bit more PR specific was that the day or two before that statement was released, and it was like the day after the main backlash about that, Kylie was on her story videoing with Caitlyn, who I haven't seen on Kylie's story in like some time except for maybe like one quick baby moment, but like Caitlyn's never on that channel, so I was like,
calculated.
Okay, chill. Yeah.
This is damage control.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Okay, so I have not kept up with the Kardashians, like, as far as their show for a while now. It's probably been years. Yeah. And then I kept seeing these Daily Mail articles about, like, this epic fight that they have.
I loved it.
And then I was like, okay, I'm tuning in. Like, I'm doing it.
I've basically kept up with them.
Forever.
Every Sunday evening since 10th grade.
Wow. Love that. I can't believe it goes back that far, but it definitely does.
In 2007, I was in 10th grade and less.
So now I'm fully back. I'm keeping up. And I wanted to talk about this fight because I was like,
it. It's breaking the fourth wall.
It's so breaking the fourth wall. And I feel like there are elements of it that are like fake, but then there's an underlying.
It's not fake. And what's hilarious about it to me, if you don't mind, is that
I don't like, mind at all. go, please go right like ahead.
What
go
I think
off.
Is so ingenious about it is that they've actually, by emphasizing it so much on social media, they've made it seem way faker than it is in such a specifically Kardashian way.
Yeah.
Like
by hashtagging every one of their responses to each other.
And by doing that so actively with the show, like then it makes every like basic critic on the internet be like, oh yeah, PR marketing agency. It's like you think that they're using the conflict to get eyes onto the show, but really they're emphasizing the conflict so that people think that's all that they're doing rather than have like an existential philosophical discord between the two main players on the show that is really real. And it's about things like motherhood and lifestyle. And I feel like Courtney saying, I wish I would, if I had enough money, I wouldn't be on this fucking show. That's real.
Yeah.
And like, so I just feel like the social media theater of it takes away some of the gravity of like the actual fight that did happen.
Yeah. Cause when she said, like, when she said that and she was like, I want, That was a big moment when she said, I would not be on the show if I had enough money. Yeah. But then when she was like, I miss so much of my kids' lives. And like, I want to have these moments with my children where I put them to bed or like pick them up from school. And I don't get to do that. And they need that. And they're missing out on that. That was like, whoa, holy shit. Because like, I feel like they pride themselves in being this like family that's like all about like kids and like all everyone's together.
And you know
that
Kim's not like that.
Yeah.
She doesn't even seem in the show like that. That doesn't mean you don't love your kids. She's just not that kind of
mom. No, but I think that they're with like a nanny. Yeah. And then when the camera, they have like 1 minute. Because then I started watching the show and it's like, there'll be 1 minute where it's like the nanny's like, okay, go run and say hi to daddy. Yeah. And like the kids will run in like, fuck around for a second and then run out. And it's like they're being cared for by like paid help.
And I'm sure like that Kim sees her kids every day and enjoys their company every single day. But I think that's one of a million tasks she does every single day. She's obsessed with like all of her businesses. And Courtney's not obsessed with all of her businesses, which is a pretty cool conversation and like resonant conflict, I think, to have among moms, because like there's so much opportunity and ability for women to like do it all these days that I think it also becomes its own immense pressure to be like, what if I don't, what if I simply can't do it all? Why do I need to be like a super businesswoman and a super mom and a super wife, or just like even like a super wellness, you know, fit? Like there's so many priorities to have that like I feel like having the conversation about people's priorities is really interesting. At the same time, how much is Courtney missing? She's with her kids all the time.
She's with her kids all the time.
Most
and
of the
I was
promo
like,
stuff she does is in LA.
Yeah. They went on vacation with her
for weeks.
They were on
she
that
doesn't
shoot
have other
with
work,
her. Yeah.
Really. Like, if she works, it's a few days a week. I mean, I don't know her schedule, but I just know, like, she does sponsored posts from her house. She does, like, press stuff, of course, but it's not really that much. They don't need to, like, do press tours. They just live. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, while I hear that, and I can imagine Courtney wishing she just had like zero to do with any of that and 100% time with her kids, that's totally real. But I feel like in comparison to, say, like Kim or soon to be Chloe, like the amount of time she's spending away from her kids is not huge to me.
Yeah, I don't. I wonder that too, because it's like she does not have other responsibilities aside from the show.
And I also think everyone wants to talk about how Kim is like such a fucking bitch and all that. But I would be like that too a bit, because
Courtney was being a bitch about like not being flexible with
that.
She's
always been a bitch.
Yeah, it was like, okay, you're being a bitch and being difficult.
I study these women closely, so I can talk really frankly about that.
But like, I mean, it's so weird because I feel like with family, you can
extra bad.
You can be extra bad and you can say the things that you would never say to like a friend.
That's why family's so good.
I know. And like, because you can say just like cut deep, like to the meanest, deepest shit. And like, so it was interesting to see them existing in that world where it's just like, where Kim's like, you're the least interesting to look at, like get the fuck out then, like don't come. And then Courtney being like, I'm sick of being, I wish I was never a part of this disgusting family, like your horrible values. Like,
and Chloe's face when she's saying like disgusting family, she's like, oh well, bitch, like is that really what it is? And she I thought also it was interesting when she's like, I mean, it's pretty balls out, like to be like, oh, disgusting family, crazy, you know, it's like intense to say she doesn't want to be on the show, intense, but to also say I feel like we're forced to maintain these fake relationships, that's pretty insane, because I do believe that they would either way, you know what I mean? Oh my god, Courtney's calling. And Courtney, that is a cool moment because Courtney is pretty indisputably the hottest one.
She's so hot. And also, I think what's interesting.
So I like her pride when she, like, you know, she knows that she's the hot one. And she thinks, I love her sort of looking at Kim like.
Yeah.
Like.
And her style.
Go get another whatever. Yeah.
Has gotten so good over like the past year. Like she's working. I was like Googling all the stylists that they work with. Yeah. And she has a different one from, I think, like. She is her own that's separate, I think, from it might, they might work with Kendall too, but like Courtney has like distinctly her own thing going on. And recently I've thought that she's been like just killing it, like way more than even Kim has. And like, I like the Yeezy looks and stuff, but I feel like it's like, once Kim wears that outfit, you can't wear that outfit because it's like so just like hers.
No, I don't like any of their looks. And
no one's?
No.
You don't like Courtney's looks?
No. I mean, no, but I think she looks amazing for her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think what you're saying is true.
Yeah.
But like, she looks like, you know, like a lifestyle influencer, which is what she wants. Like, mm-hmm. she looks like everyone else that looks like goes to vacation in Italy.
Yeah. Like, she's like an Instagram. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think that's amazing because it's also, she got a lot of shit for like loving design and all of that, but not being, I think, you know, Kim came up with Kanye in terms of feeling access to like all this creative, you know, fashion. Ideas or fashion or design stuff. And I feel like she did make, you know, even coming into Courtney's house and talking shit and all that kind of stuff. Like, she did make it very clear that she had now more access to like avant-garde aesthetics and mm-hmm. that Courtney was sort of trash. So I love Courtney having an amazing time. And also, it's like Courtney's ass is so enviable and amazing, and she features it on vacation so like forwardly mm-hmm. and it looks so much better than Kim's. And I feel
her body is like really good. It looks like, I mean, she's admitted to having breast implants, but like the rest of it looks like, oh, you work out and eat healthy and like look like
you're
you do
ripped.
That.
Yeah, like you look good. Mm-hmm. But like her ass is like particularly juicy for being so muscular or something. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like it doesn't get too built out. It's still, she's sexy.
Yeah.
And I don't even think that it's would be as important if I didn't think that killed Kim. Because Kim tries so hard. Like, nobody tries harder in the world to be late to all this shit and then proliferate it than Kim. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so I just think Kim is, like, completely devoid of any actual taste or preference. And maybe beyond, like, sparkle or fur or something really, like, something she's liked her whole life. Like, I think she would do anything that anyone tells her, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that alone makes Courtney, like, you know, she obviously works with stylists and all that and, like, is looking at Instagram and being inspired, but it's not, like, such a militant, like, urgency to her looking good, which does make it look way cooler and why I definitely would look rather wear Courtney stuff than Kim's. Like, I already mm-hmm. own Spanx. Like, I don't need that shit. Like, I was going to be in a Yeezy ad the last campaign they did. And I said yeah, and I was sort of, like, not sure if I should say yeah because I felt like it was sort of a crazy – it was, like, a chaotic time for Kanye comments and, mm-hmm. like, all
oh, was
this
it, like,
stuff.
The one peak, where he
– peak post-Trump stuff.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. was recently. And then
– not the ones where it was, like, everyone looked like a version of Kim.
It was the one right after that.
Okay, yeah, where everyone was, like, in the studio kind of, like – body morphing and all
exactly.
that. But then people were like, oh, he ripped off
it's
this
100%
other
stolen.
Yeah.
So then I was just like, and the person that does it is like, I'm cool with him. I like him and I respect him. I'm trying to be in some other shoots that aren't stolen. But I do think that like many of these people that do get so many opportunities to work with huge artists, they do rip so much stuff. Like mm-hmm. even Nico was wearing some Chanel underwear, like a bootleg Chanel underwear in a photo. And then, and it's like, Chanel never really made little tidy whities like this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then Kim had a picture from the same artist who did, you know, this shoot that was also copied.
Mm-hmm.
She posted a photo that was basically the same with the same underwear on recently. But Nico's like, bro, did you just Photoshop it? Because those aren't real, like, she and Sandy Alley, and like even like her stylist types like aren't, you know, scouring for like rare bootleg stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's just funny. I mean, I'm always super interested in like chains of visual communication, and I have quite thorough tabs on these bitches. So.
You do have thorough tabs. You have receipts.
Yeah, I have plenty of receipts.
I need to post like a side by side on Instagram.
I know.
And
I'm sorry
see.
If that seemed too niche, but when you see it,
no,
you'll
that's
know
amazing.
That it's worth investigating.
Wow.
And basically with Yeezy, I was like, I'm not sure if I should do it. And then I was like, okay, cool, I'll do it. You know, like how much, like what's the rate? And then basically no word back from them. like all these companies just think that everyone wants to do shit for
fashion. Is so cool. Fashion is so like that, yeah, too. Like I was talking about this on another episode with Ed, where it's like I've been approached by like for certain opportunities, either mm-hmm. writing like fashion videos or working with brands to like write copy yeah. for like new products that they're rolling out. And that's something I'm like down. Totally down and interested in, but I'm not going to do it for free.
No.
And like the second that I would say, okay, like let me loop in like my manager or someone yeah. or start or like, let's get on the phone and talk about rates and blah, blah, blah. It would be, it's like
dead silence.
And then I'm like, okay, well you're not like, what do you like? Even people that work for me that do like design stuff on for like podcast stuff, even if I can't pay them well, I pay them.
Same.
Because you cannot not pay people. Like it's just
only the richest people try and do that. Pay people.
Yeah.
That happened to me with a fashion person who asked me to write, a fashion person who would not self-identify as a fashion person, mm-hmm. who asked me to write her book. And I set a rate that in retrospect was like super low, you know?
Yeah.
But I would have been glad to take it. Like, you know what I mean? And she knew my writing and was super down. But then the minute I talked about money, never heard anything again. The book's out. Like, I just saw it on my friend's shelf. I'm like, damn. Like, I was thinking, like, do I wish I wrote this so that I could, like, have a book to show someone to let them help me make, you know, one of my books? And I'm like, no, not really.
Not if you're going to get unfairly compensated exactly. or not compensated. Like, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that. And I think that
it's not.
If you wait and hold out, some other situations will come along always totally. That are worth it with people also, who want to be legitimate about things.
Yeah. Like, I just feel like I have been lucky to try enough things and like pursue paths, like many at once, basically, for these last years. And like, I realize that like enough good things are happen with each of them that it just totally ruins something for me if I don't feel respected by that other person. So it's not so much like, it doesn't matter. I don't know. Just like, I'm not going to do a great job if I don't think that you're like a reputable person to begin with, which reputable people pay. And like, I think there really are very, you know, people will always have startups and like say that they can't pay for content yet, but I mm-hmm. still think like, then you shouldn't put content, or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I know that. But the thing is, people are down, you know, like people want to submit things because they just want to be.
Yeah. I mean, there's always someone that will.
I've done plenty of free, you know.
Yeah.
I've posed nude for plenty of photographers that are my friends that have then gone and sold them for like thousands of dollars. And I don't even have a print of the photo, you know. So mm-hmm. it's like that's, but you just learn, right? Because I was never asking back then for certain things because I just want to go show up to whatever that experience is, you know?
Yeah, totally. And that's the thing too, is that you have to just decide what's right for yourself. Because yeah, if you want to cool. do that, yeah. then that's fine.
Exactly.
But like, if you're feeling weird or like not or disrespected by the way yeah. someone's approaching you to like work with them, then it's also fine to be like, no.
Like, even over the weekend, a big band asked me to be in their, or yeah, it was like last week they asked me to be in their video over the weekend, and they were like, oh, it's a really hot director right now, and this guy from New York is asking, you know, telling me the details. And like, then at the end it's like, there's no budget, unfortunately there's no budget for supporting actors and background actors. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, which one am I? Like, what's my role? Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, maybe if I'm going to be in every scene with this damn band, like, I'll consider doing it. But, like, what am I? You know what I mean? It's just, like, people always want – people just need people to show up for certain things and we'll say whatever to, like, get them there. And I just appreciate, like, how much I've learned from, like, the producers or people who, even when there really is no money, like, make people feel really good by offering, like – rides or Ubers or great food or like, you know, little stipends. Like $100 is so much more than zero in terms of how it feels.
Yeah,
to be approached for that.
Mm-hmm. Something is always better than nothing.
Yeah.
So like, what can you do for me?
Exactly.
Always ask that.
What can you do for me?
Mm-hmm.
God, I hope some people do some new things for me soon.
Same. I have a lot. I would love some people to do some things. Yeah.
I'm so in the mood.
I need to talk about a couple that's really babing out, like, hard, especially this week. Yes. And that is Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin.
Oh, my God. You're kind of looking like them with your accessory today.
Thank you. Yeah, I kind of am channeling.
Bieber loves, like, headscarves.
He loves a headscarf. I'm here for it. They, A, are, like, the hottest couple to me.
Yeah.
Like, they're both just, like, physically beautiful. Mm-hmm. But then they also are, like, psychos, mm-hmm, because they're getting married and they're both, like, heavily involved in Hillsong Church, mm-hmm, which is, like, a mega babe. Mm-hmm. And they've been spotted around New York, like, weeping, crying.
That's so real, right? When you love someone, you just cry.
They cried at a cafe and, like, just looked at each other over a table and were crying.
That picture was, like, extra. It's different when one person is crying.
But they're both crying. Like,
I was sort of crying at Stamp Coffee Shop today.
Mm-hmm.
But my boyfriend wasn't crying.
It's nice to have, like, a one person cry sometimes.
That's more grounded.
It's more grounded, but then, like, a two person cry is a real...
No, I'd rather have a two person be more wild.
A two person cry is, like, really, you know, things are, like, heavy duty emotional.
Yeah. I mean, that's, like, what's crazy about young people, right? In, mm-hmm, like, a... I mean, because they are quite young, right? They're, like, 22.
They're, like, 22 or something, yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like you have just... You may think that when you, like, are 18 or something that you're dealing with some of your existential baggage or whatever, but you haven't. So it's, like, it's so – I'm sure, like, I wasn't really in serious relationships but at that age, but just, like, the gravity of sharing that, I'm sure, is just so overwhelming.
Sharing is overwhelming, but also the fact that it's, like, in public, yeah, is also, like,
and
crazy.
And they're famous. Like, and they know famous. They're famous as fuck.
Like,
so
I always am intrigued by couples having either drama in public or fighting, yeah, or crying. Like, I feel like those pictures... Do you remember the pictures of Shia LaBeouf and his, yes, ex-girlfriend crying on the street?
Yes.
Those are some of my favorites. Like, those I would love to have one of those framed.
Yes.
And I'm going to do that, yeah, for myself because, yeah, it was iconic.
Yes.
But when celebrity... Like, I feel like in my last... I mean, I don't understand, like, couples that like to take walks and, like, work
out their issues yeah,
on a walk in public and view of everyone.
No.
Especially if it's going to get emotional. And I've done the, like, let's take a walk, like, we're breaking up,
like,
and then cried on the street.
I don't take a walk with my...
I took a walk and I cried on, like, a very busy street on, like, a bench. We both did. And I was like, this feels weird to me. Like, I don't like this.
Right.
And so I don't understand when, like, celebrity couples decide to take a walk and, like, cry in,
like,
public.
Like, go take a walk in your big ass backyard.
Yeah. Or just, like, chill at home and, like, cry.
But they must, things must get really crazy when they're just like that.
Yeah. In the moment, you probably aren't even thinking, like, oh my God, we're at this cafe or we're riding our city bikes and, like, I'm breaking
down.
Or,
like, they need to deal with it in public to keep it toned down.
Yeah.
Like, the crying is the extent of it, but at home, behind closed doors, if they're crying in public together, like, maybe the shit gets more wild.
Yeah. I just am, like, not into walk taking and resolving issues.
I'm into peaceful walks.
Yeah. I'm into peaceful
strolls,
walk and talk. Strolls, hand holding.
Thinkers.
Walks. Lolling.
Even just, like, the public cafe moment. Like, I definitely had a really serious conversation with my boyfriend once at a cafe that I have long worked at, or, like, gone there to write or,
mm-hmm,
just get a coffee in the morning for many years off and on. And we were sitting in these two chairs that I had never really sat in there before because it's, like, two big leather chairs that aren't good for writing, basically.
Yeah, that's like a sleep journey for me.
Yeah, it's like, it's counteracting the caffeine.
Yeah.
And then I was feeling like, wow, it's so crazy that I'm in here fully crying and he's, like, looking so emotional and we're sitting here and having this talk. And then recently another couple, when I was just there alone, was doing the same thing. And they both were, like...
In the chairs?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they were more... Like, the guy was more crying there, too.
Wow.
And I'm, like... I felt really seen and accepted that it's something that just happens.
It's a safe space.
But I also felt like a loser. Like, I don't want to be that. Like, when I'm looking at them, I wasn't, like, thinking, like, I wanted to tell myself, like, look at all this open display of communication. But really, I'm like, ugh, like.
No, when I see, I, like, look at couples in that mode as, like, a zoo animal. And I'm just, like, so fascinated. But I would rather die than be, like, part that couple it. Or, like, be doing that. And it's like, it's not to say that I haven't been that. Like, I've definitely, like, cried in multiple restaurants, like, with boyfriends and had to, like, get up and leave the table and, like, go to the bathroom, which was, like, my go-to move.
So funny.
Yeah, a very drama.
Bye.
Yeah. I'm like, I can't. I need a second. And then, like, get up and go to the bathroom, compose myself, and then come back and, like, do, like, silent treatment, no eye contact. Yeah. Yeah. But, like,
that's how I get into the crying.
Is first you're
you're like dejected distant. And distant, mm-hmm. and like they're kind of looking for a cue from me, mm-hmm. but I'm not giving them one until they catch the tears falling.
Love.
And then they have to be like, babe.
Then you make them pick up the pieces,
yeah.
and resolve the issue at the table, so you go full tears into then they need to comfort until you're a no tear,
yeah.
Yeah, I think I do
it
both
worked pretty well today. Oh my God.
Do you find yourself babing out in relationships?
Oh, so majorly. like how we're talking about how you act with family is mm-hmm. so, like, there's such different values or standards than mm-hmm. friends. Like, I realize with my boyfriend, I realize how abusive I've been to my parents mm-hmm. because I'm like, wow, I'm such a bitch. I'm so spoiled. I'm so impatient. And I have many nurturing, loving, like, I'm not worried about all the good I bring because I know it's there.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to say about it. Like,
yeah.
I just, like, even yesterday, like, he was going to be, like, an hour late to hang out. And I was like, okay, well, don't worry about coming.
I love a shutdown.
Don't worry.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry. I love just canceling everything. it's not ever what I want to do.
No,
what I want is, like, come over and
I was
let's, like,
thinking, like, well, okay, like, if I go to sleep alone, like, that's fine, but I'm going to wake up in a whole mood about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
I just am, like, a really weird, I don't know, like, I'm so, like, open, like, let's cut our veins and be one, like, soul, like, too deep, too heavy, too much, mm-hmm. you know? But then I also am like, we only have 10 minutes, I need to get a coffee in 10 minutes. Like, I'm very regimented, as we've discussed, and, like, very into, like, waking up like a bat out of hell and, like, getting my life every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I don't know. I think it's just a really awkward, there's, like, so many types of babe, because it's, like, either I'm a bitch and you're harshing my vibe or, like, ruining my plan, or you're just, like, too distant, like, an hour away from me. If I haven't seen you in a couple days, I'm like, if you really wanted to, if you've really been missing me, like, you're texting, you would be here on time.
Yeah.
And but I don't really get so, like, when I first dated this person, the first time we ever, like, broke up, there's been a couple. I literally flung myself out of his bed into the floor and laid there. And I was like, basically, we had been having some, like, BDSM-ish sex the night before. And it got to a place that I wasn't super comfortable, but it wasn't intense. It wasn't, like, the necessary thing you would think of or whatever. But, like, I just wasn't feeling it so much.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And so we stopped and it was cool. But really, that was like a human moment where, like, I had given him space. He didn't do anything that was violating any consent or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the next morning, me rolling out of the bed like that was to show myself as a piece of meat.
Mm-hmm.
And to, like, roll myself out of the bed and be like, okay, here. Like, yeah, do whatever you want. Like, yeah. Like,
fine.
Like, fuck me on the floor because I'm a little, you know, rag doll that you don't give a fuck about. And, like, I remember I was in a gown, which... made it funnier.
Heightened the drama.
Yeah. And it was Thanksgiving morning, and, like, he was just looking down at me, like, as I, like, impale myself to the floor, writhing around like a crazy brat. And, like, it turns out that's not that attractive. Like,
no.
I thought we were just having, like, a moment of, like, I'm threatening to break up with you because I'm being dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I'm just not sure if I can give you what you need emotionally. And then I went crazy, you know, like crazy. And I don't know. I feel like it hasn't been all like a straight shooter or something. Or like, you know, like there has definitely been other bumps in the road. But I think that was like my peak, babe, with this moment, you know?
Yeah. I'm someone, like, I definitely value my freedom.
Yeah.
So, and when I can get in, like, a mood if I feel like I've spent too much time with a certain person.
Yeah.
And just, like, get out of my space. Like, I just don't want, I need, like, a break. And yeah. I don't want to see you for, like,
2 days.
Hours or a couple days or whatever. But I also, like, I find that a lot of the time, or in the past, especially in my 20s, like, I don't know how to communicate that.
Exactly.
And so it comes out as, like, rejection.
Bitch, or, yeah,
like, I'll be a bitch, or then I'll just be like, ugh, I just, like, don't know. Like,
yeah.
Just, like, leave, or, like, I want to, like, it's like I want to make someone, I want to make my significant other feel like
want
shit. And then want to leave, but then love me so much that they protest and they want to stay, and so they like accept my bitchiness and then like kind of fight through it, and
so then you don't even know what you want.
So then I don't know what I want. So then obviously it like backfires, and then like I'm thinking of this one time, this guy that I dated in college was like love of my life. We like had spent a few days together, and I was just like woke up in a mood, and I was just like everything he was saying was annoying, and I just was like going into like shut down bitch mode, like get out of my apartment.
Yeah.
Like, and so then he finally left, and he drove a motorcycle, and so I went into like the garage and to like find him and like kind of explain myself, but that never goes well because I was just like, I just think it's like too much, you know, like it's like you're here and like I just like don't know. And then he takes that as like, okay, well, this
I'm over you.
Yeah, I'm over you. So then he leaves, and then immediately I like break down in tears, cried for like the next 8 hours, like called everyone I knew,
right.
Like my best
Same.
friend,
yeah,
yeah, like my mom, like just weeping, crying, being like, he's gonna break up with me, like I just fucked up the best thing. And then I'm just like decided to solve the situation by like coming out to LA for a week. I was like, I'm gonna go, and like so I then run away, like it's a goes
yeah,
into
that
full
makes even
blown,
more drama.
Yeah. And so and then it's just like almost in a way to like show it's like putting more blame on that person, being
yeah.
like, this has traumatized me so,
so much,
much that I'm leaving when I'm the one that created the situation
really,
in the first
like,
place.
Like you said, you probably just needed 2 hours.
Yeah.
You don't even need 2 days.
No, I just need like, you go do your thing
you
and like I'll
like,
do mine.
Do your skincare routine without someone there and like.
Yeah. And just like have quiet time.
Yeah. Also with writing and stuff like that, like, I don't like people to be around unless they're
Mm-mm.
also actively working.
Yeah.
And I do one time, not long, like a couple months ago, my boyfriend tried to like work with me on like a day like this, like in the middle of the afternoon.
No.
And I'm just like firing at a different cylinder. Like
mm-hmm.
it's just not the same energy. And I don't, it's not any, it's not a shade to him. It's like everyone works in different ways.
But yeah.
Like I get to be, I'm very focused. For not being focused,
I like being alone and silence. And if I'm hanging out with someone and working with them, like, I want to be, like, talking to them and, like, laughing. And if it's, like, a boyfriend, I want to be, like, fucking or, yeah, like, laying around. Like, I don't want to just be, like, typing.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like, I don't – I feel like I'm getting into more of, a, like, a partnership with my boyfriend where I'm only really newly even allowing that. And, I mean, not that he necessarily wanted it at first either. You know, it was more casual or just, like, early dating. But even, like, long after we'd been together a minute, like, I never had let someone really be, like, in my life, you know? Like, maybe to a party or maybe, you know, to private dates. But, like, I don't know. Like, in the middle of the week, like, even if whatever I have to do, it's not even that important, right? Like, I'm the one saying I wish there was new things to do. But, like, that being said, I am grateful and grounded in that shit. And I don't want other people around while I'm, like, dealing with other tasks. I would rather just, like, sit in the shower together or fuck, like,
yeah. It's hard to let people into your life though.
Yeah,
like, some people are so good at it, and, like,
some people are, like, I look instantly at some, great at it.
Yeah, like, some women or even men I know that are just, like, in a relationship and it's like, oh my god, like, blah blah blah, and it happens so, like, seamlessly, and then they're just, like, together and, like,
yeah.
And I'm so not like that. Like,
I'm not like that at all.
I'm very, like, separated, and then also I find myself, like, the thought of having to, like, put off anything I want to do to then, like, make time for another person is, like, it terrifies me and, like, disgusts me at the same time.
Yeah,
like, totally. I'm just like, ooh, no, oh my god, no. And I'd rather just, like, be around my friends. Like, I'm very much like, I don't know, I feel like a distinct sense that, like, my freedom is going to be threatened by a relationship,
and a lot of the times it is.
Yeah,
I feel like when I first started dating this guy, that he knew me as someone with, like, so many friends or things going on, very social, very out, that, like, he just knew my availability to be way less than it became once I was, like, in love with him, and then I wanted him all the time, and, like, I didn't really want to blend it or make a seamless, like, transition out of it as much as I just wanted to be with him, like, alone as much as I could, and I think I also used it as an opportunity to like, not go do some of the same social things that I've been doing, like, a long time, you know? So... But then I wouldn't really give him space to be surprised by that. I'd be like, what the fuck? You should be honored that I want to be with you all the time. Like, look what I don't do instead of be with, you know, so I can be with you. But he'd be like, why don't you go to that concert? You know, like.
You're like, what are you saying? You don't like me?
Yeah, exactly. I've been dating this person on and off, but mostly on for like a year and a half or more. And he's met both of my parents, but you know, I have, like, my mom has, like, 8 siblings in LA, so, like, we have a huge family, and on Friday, he's gonna come to my cousin's birthday party.
Oh, nice.
And it should be, like, a turnt, fun, a wild summer vibe family party. Like,
yeah.
They're not boring or, like, formal or anything, but at the same time, part of me has a deep fear of babying about it.
Yeah. Well, that's, like... That's a step, right? Like, that's a step in a direction that makes that there's more at stake.
Exactly.
The more you let someone in, there's more at stake.
Exactly. And the reason that I really want it to happen is that I don't want it to seem like, not that I don't want it to seem like as if it's just about appearances, but, like, having been with him a lot and for a little bit of a long time now and, like, experiencing so much with him, I'm like, I'm not trying to keep you in a lane. You know what I mean? Like, I think more than anything, I'm scared that you're not going to take to being in all these areas of my life. You know what I mean?
Like, and once you see it or experience it, you'll realize that this isn't what you want.
Yeah, or that it's not even about what you see or experience as much as it is that, like, it's just a whole thing. And I don't know. I think, like, I have always been way more comfortable being someone's, like, fuck doll than, like, partner, you know, and it's just been a theme. It's like what I was crying about, I guess, today, of like really trying to like think about how I can learn to be partners or just be available for certain things in my life, because I am like pretty in my own world in a certain way. Like, I'm extremely talkative and I listen to a lot of people and like I am available to people, but like kind of within the confines of my reality all the time, you know, and just sort of like loosening control around that.
Yeah. That's like a good thing to be conscious of.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, it's either, for me, it's like a lot of like black and white behavior. Yeah. Like, I'm either like, I need freedom or feel like I'm being like my wings are being clipped, or I'm like, I set my sights on someone that's like totally inaccessible.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, that's what I want. Like, that's who I want. This and I would dynamic, do anything for them. And like, and then it just changes into like, I'll never be able to get that from this person because they're not capable of anything that it is I want. But there is like, I'm like, okay, what is that happy medium?
Yeah.
And like, how do I find that happy medium? Like, how do I curb my own like babe behavior enough to where I can find that happy medium and then like soak it up?
Yeah.
TBD.
I don't know, trial and error. I mean, like, you have to like, someone has to like enjoy a little bit of a bratty baby to really love me, I think. And luckily, a lot of people do like that.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's worked for me thus far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's another thing, too, is like I channel brattiness in relationships.
I'm a brat. Yeah.
Yeah. Like princess. Like, and so that also is something that I have to like really. I have to be aware of and like channel it in like a fun, sexy, flirty,
exactly
fabulous way, and not like this entitled, ungrateful bitch. Yeah. Like ice,
totally
like ice queen.
And like, I definitely grew up with most people close to me telling me, you are, like my parents included, like, you are such a fucking bitch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I've heard everyone close to me say that, but like not really in a friend way. People wouldn't say that, you know what I mean? Like, I've sort of saved it for family.
Mm-hmm.
But like I mentioned, like, I don't have siblings, but I have so many witnesses, cousins, uncles, aunts, like everyone, like, you know, just this idea of like what your secret reputation is. And I think it had a lot to do with like depression and secrecy and shame and like a lot of real shit, you know. But I'm like, okay, what parts of that are still like there? Act, like, why am I still so agitated a lot of the time? And I think it is like a control thing. Like,
why am I agitated, and why am I getting agitated at like these people specifically? Like, why is it like my closest friends and family members that get this side of me? And like, I don't feel that around like this group of people.
Exactly. And I do feel, and I noticed it with a friend recently who we've been sharing some like really honest, emotional, sort of like without being 12-steppy or like related to anything like that. Like, it feels like that, you know, like feels like a very therapeutic dynamic we've established. And I, with her, who's such a lovely angel, like just such a great person, I was feeling some revulsion. And I realized the familiarity of that is like anybody that's super close to me, I will get like, I will feel like revulsion. I'll feel like sickened. I'll feel like really avoidant and like snappy. And that's like, sounds horrible, you know? And it won't be something that I make public to other people.
But that has so much more to do with you than it has to do with them.
Exactly. It's because I don't want to be known. You know, it's like these, and like that's what it is. It's these moments where I have to like live in my body knowing that these people really know me.
Mm-hmm.
And
love you and accept you.
Exactly. And they do. And honestly, like sometimes I feel even more guilty for like being a depressed person or for like having some like, I don't know, unchill attitudes, because I feel like compared to so many people, like I do receive so much love, like, you know, and it's not to say that's always been the case, like universally, but like, yeah, I really do. So I want to just like operate with my heart open from that place and not from like these fear, you know, these fear things, because every bitch is sad, right?
Like, yeah,
that's what that is. And like, I don't know what it is. The ultimate spoiled thing that we both share that you, like, indicated with the whole scenario of like not wanting to say it but wanting them out kind of thing, mm-hmm. is like the ultimate like sign of how spoiled we are, is that we expect people to anticipate guests and prepare for our needs and to like identify when they change and then adjust what they're giving us based on that without mm-hmm. us ever having to talk about it or own up to it, right?
Yeah.
So it's like we feel like we deserve somebody to like constantly adjust to that, but we don't even deserve, like we don't feel like we actually deserve to have a feeling to be able to say it.
Yeah. It's like so to weird. Be able to give ourselves like a voice to say like, this is how I'm feeling.
And I'm learning, because you have to, right?
But oh yeah, like, you have to in a relationship with someone.
Yeah, but it's like not a big deal to be like, okay, babe, I'm going to work for a few hours. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Can you leave, right? Like, that's not actually a loaded thing, but mm-hmm. we think it's going to be more dramatic to do that rather than to like, like, you know, just it's so performative. It's so drama queen.
Like, yeah, like I don't ever want to be the one to like leave or initiate like, I need to go do this or end something. But then I also will get offended if they're the one doing that.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it just is like,
What you want? I know. And like, I am happy to be in a relationship, because I do feel like every relationship, friendship, work, like everything is always showing you something about yourself. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. It's always easy to think that you've dealt with something more deeply than you have.
Yeah. I definitely am like, every week I feel like I'm confronted with the fact that like I'm terrified of intimacy or like yeah. have all these feelings around them, that it's like I just am like, whoa, that's pretty loaded.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, well, okay, I could like deal with all this stuff,
yeah,
and like face it and just like do things that make me uncomfortable and like put myself yeah. out there, or it's like I can retreat further. But, like, what is going to get me closer to my end goal? And, like, what is my end goal?
Totally. Because it's also okay to have, like, a different approach than a lot of other people if it comes to, like, how you want to use your time. Or
mm-hmm.
I hope, you know, people are loved for our bratty selves.
Wow. You're wearing a really chic hair clip. Do you know that like Vogue just wrote about this and someone had tweeted me, because it's like all the girls in France are wearing these like cheap ass hair clips that are like, yeah. And then it was like a whole thing.
This hair is clips like the kind of hair clip that you like someone who's dyeing your hair at home would use to put your hair up, or like,
yeah,
I put like half my hair up if I'm going to blow it dry, which I haven't done in like 4 months, mm-hmm. but. I love using this clip, but like I almost always hide it from people.
Don't hide it anymore. You're right on trend.
I'm literally like so relieved, because yesterday I actually walked in, whatever. I went down the road and I got a drink and
your local watering hole.
Yeah. And I realized that I had this in my hair the whole time. And that's when they were out of iced coffee. And, like, I was like, oh, my God. And I had this ugly clip showing the whole time.
No, I think it's so cute.
But I love the clip for my own pleasure. You know, I just think that people think it's ugly.
No, it's very chic.
It's French.
It's French. All the French girls are wearing it.
I'm French.
I think someone just sent me that from the wish list, because I immediately put it on the wish list. And then...
What's your top two favorite wish lists you ever got items?
Oh, that's so hard to say.
Does anything instantly come to mind in your heart, though?
I love every coffee accessory that I've gotten. Oh, like really? My French press and cold brew are insane.
They change your life.
And also my crystal water bottle has been good? Really, yeah, it's amazing. I use it every day. I mean, I love everything that I've got. Like every, not to be like
She's
that
a politician.
Bitch. But there's...
Like, I'm sure you love everything you got. It's all from your damn wish list. Yeah. You wanted it.
That's the way it is. Like, these animal
and
spirit
that's
cards...
the way
I can't choose one thing. Nor should do I feel like I should be forced to. Let's do...
coercing you.
Some reader mail.
Please. Dear Laura.
Hi, Laura. Hi, Tierney.
Hi.
Loved the first episode of Tierney's arc. Can't wait to see where this journey will take us. Your conversation about being work wives really struck a chord with me. I've always had a super close girlfriends in the workplace. It's so great to have that friend you can go to when you want to grab a coffee or get lunch or just want to leave it for and bitch about everyone slash thing. My bestie from my first job and I still laugh at the babe of it all that is being 22, single, living in NYC and getting paid $30,000 a year to work in book publishing. Exhibit A, I kept a collection of scarves at my desk for the days when I came in wearing the same clothes as the night before. But the real babe story here is the fast and furious friendship I recently struck up with another babe at my current job. I've been in this role for about a year after moving to my current city from NYC. I thought making friends at work would be a breeze, but it was actually troll. Everyone was already fully ensconced in their lives and didn't seem interested in making new friends. Fast forward to this past week, we have two big work events a year where people from all of our offices come to our headquarters or Cabo. The babe levels on that trip are out of control. The first night of the event, we were introduced because we're in the same hometown. Things quickly escalated when we both realized we loved drinking, Bravo, and lolling. Within the next 48 hours, we spent the whole next day of the event together, which included so much wine, me breaking the photo booth machine, and her coming back to my house at 1 a.m. to charge her phone and eat snacks. Witty banter, texting, and lolling on Friday. A fun, fun, fun night out on Saturday with an ill-advised 1 a.m. edible. Seen dick pics of her ex and finding out how she broke up with him a month ago because he wasn't funny enough, which is a great reason.
True.
Anyways, just wanted to say your work wife friendship journey warmed my heart and made me so happy and blessed to think of all the wonderful women in my life that I've met via gainful employment. Thanks for the lols. P.S. My husband was recently telling me a story about a brew moment, TMI babe, but referred to what we know as a brew to the gut bubbles, which I think kind of translate. Ew.
Sparkly.
I hate gut bubbles.
Gut bubbles, probiotics.
Uh-huh.
I loved being your work wife.
I loved being your work wife.
We were like, we knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then we became work wives.
Yeah.
So it gave like a nighttime party girl friendship, like real legs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're lasting. We're
yeah,
here.
And room to get to know each other better. And then experience each other in a professional-ish setting.
I want to just take 1 minute very quickly and kind of wrap up something we spoke about last week.
Yes,
will you let me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Basically, we were talking about the phone sex project that Laura and I worked on together. And we made mention of this guy, the Englishman, who was a British PSO that we spoke to for this thing. Laura massively trolled me. I don't know if I did something to troll you first.
You got me. Yes.
I got you good
you
somehow,
got
right?
Me because you had Michelle.
You, yeah.
So Tierney had her best friend text me from a number I didn't know and started texting me just like kind of flirty.
Wait, it was about fish.
It was about fish. Yeah. You were like, hey.
I had heard you talking at work about going to the fish show to someone. So mm-hmm. then I used it.
Yeah. And so then I started getting these texts from a random number being like, hey, like, so sorry, we didn't get to talk for very long at like Christine's birthday party, which is where I was like a couple nights before. But like, it was so good seeing you and like have fun at fish. And I was like, who is this? And they're like, you know, like, blah, blah, blah. And then just kept being, like, flirty and saying
and
facts
then I
to
gave
me.
Michelle a photo of my uncle to send to you, being like, this is me.
And I was like, what? You're sitting across from me in our office. And I was like, who is this person? Like, oh, my God, they texted
I
me
I loved
this.
Watching her excitement.
And, like, because I was, A, terrified, but also I'm thrilled. Like, if
of course, it's
any
thrilling.
Sort of stalker situation, like deeply,
thrilling.
Deeply thrills me. Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, oh my god, me, so dangerous.
What did
stay
I say?
Away.
What
yeah.
else did I tell you?
Who was there? Do you think? I love the attention.
Did you like what I was wearing at that party?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what happened there.
So Tierney pranked me,
and then like a little bit later, there was a big room. That I was working in at like a boardroom table, and then the larger writer's room was connected where most everyone else was. But again, you know, I like to be in my own world. Mm-hmm. And so I'm at this table and I'm doing my work, and I, you know, I was working on a story, and I get a chat from my boss, and he's like, hey, what's the deal with these charges from the Englishman? And I was like,
and just to be clear, the Englishman was one of the PSOs that we yeah. had talked to in the interview process, and he had said if either of you want a free session, or didn't he say, like, I'll do a session with you on the house?
A guy was recording us, and he was like, oh, my bad. Even you, like, any of you guys, like.
It was open to all of us.
And Laura and I were, like, we were especially freakily horny at the time.
Yeah, like, we were both, like,
both doing some, like, wild stuff.
Incredibly horned up for this guy. And just, like, should we, like, do this? And, like, I want to.
Like, would it be a Sunday night? Or would it be a morning thing? Like, when would I call? And so I guess I also say that to say that, like, this, my expectation of what Laura may or may not do was, like, really flexible. Mm-hmm. And my boss is texting me, hey, what's with all these charges? And I'm like, huh? You know, and he's like, yeah. And I forget the number he said, but it was basically like this person would have had to be speaking to the Englishman for like 3 days straight nonstop. You know what I mean? It was like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it was like $1,500 or something. Yeah. Like, our boss was like, we got this invoice, like, accounts receivable an invoice. Oh, yeah.
That's what was so crazy about it, too, because it's a large company that was creating a new thing. And so, and also, I'm like, I'm a young 20-something. This is my first serious position with, a larger company. Mm-hmm. And so even having my boss talk to me about anything to do with accounts payroll is immediately, like, worrisome.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, I don't like to cop on my friends, but honey, I was copping on you, like, well, but he lured me because I was ready to be like, well, it must have been Laura, sorry. And then you were like, or he was like, do you think it could have been Laura? And I was like, yes.
You copped out on me.
I was like, yes, I think it must have been. And he's like, hey, can you talk to her about it? And I was getting all heated. I felt so awkward out there in my little room, you know, like, mm-hmm. all alone in this big room where, like, I know that these people are in there. Like, Laura's sitting there, and I was, like, really feeling like I was going to ruin her day and, like, shame her, and, like, it was going to be so uncomfortable. And then these two bastards. And then you
G-chatted me, and you were like, hey, like, do a session with the Englishman? And I was like,
oh yeah, so good.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh my god, yeah, we talked for like a long time, like, things like, got, oh, fucking god, crazy.
I know.
And you're like, I know, well, he sent us a bill for $1,500. And then I was like, no. And then, god, I kept being like, what do I do? Like, what should I say? Like, I'm so embarrassed.
And then, I'm like, literally so earnest, like an asshole, like, you know, trying to formulate advice.
And then it turned out that our boss and I were just trolling you.
That they were on chat together having a good old time and came out laughing, swigging back their fucking Diet Dr. Peppers or whatever.
I was like, gotcha.
I know.
Because I was like trying to come up with, like, work with him to come up on like a, what could possibly like troll Tierney and like get her so good. And then we.
Oh. You so, got yeah. me.
But I'm sad. Neither of us had a session with the Englishman.
No, but, I mean, maybe his offer doesn't expire.
I think that I'm ready to take him up on that offer.
We should do it
since
together.
Since that moment.
We should masturbate together if I'm going to continue the art.
Since that specific moment, I had, like, a very distinct sexual awakening to where now I would be, like, incredibly down for an Englishman session.
Yeah.
So I think maybe we should circle back.
I mean,
I need to close the loop on this.
I'm down.
Let's chat offline about how we're going to do this.
I'll make it happen. That account is still active.
Okay.
On my end.
Chic. Okay, cool. Let's read some more reader mail. Hello, Laura and friends. I'm having a major life crisis and I need your help. So I recently just ended things with my first boyfriend ever, and I'm 19, so I'm at a big babe stage in my life. Anyways, I need to know what to do about my ex. So I broke up with him a few weeks ago because he was not very nice to me, and all of my friends and family were not fans of him at all. But he was a major loller, gave me the best sex of my life, and I had the best times with him, so I still have feelings for him. And now for the past few weeks, we've been talking every day and having sex as, quote, friends, and neither of us have told a soul. And I'm just wondering if this is a major babe thing that I'm doing and need to stop, or if it's fine. Have you guys ever dealt with a messy breakup situation or had sex with an ex? Let me know.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like every breakup situation I'm in eventually gets like pretty messy.
XX is so good.
XX is the best.
It's so good, and it like actually has made me get back with this person I'm speaking about, because it's like not because it's just so like pleasurable, but because what I bring to the XX, I realize I can bring to every day of the relationship. Like a lack of certain expectation, or a lack of like these boundaries we put on ourselves for like likability politics or something. Like you just like let it all hang out with an ex. I love it.
Yeah. I think that it's like,
it doesn't mean you should get back together too.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I feel like if you're being like very secretive about it, or you're both feeling some sort of way, that's an indicator that maybe it's like not the best idea for the two of you. And also, if you still have feelings for someone, but you're having sex as like friends with no strings attached, I feel like that's a recipe for heartbreak. Totally.
But if you really don't want to get back with this person, but you love the sex, you should have it.
Are you good at separating that kind of stuff in your head?
Well, the main example I'm illustrating from, I am with him, so no. But at the same time, like, yeah, I think it's like, I think it's realistic for you to know that you don't want to date somebody anymore, but to know that you love the dick.
Yeah.
And like, if that's something you're both chill with, like, I feel like with a lot of sexual narratives, especially for like straight women, there's this idea of like straight women, I feel like more than anybody are like taught to associate sex with so many other dynamics,
with love,
with, love, with power. And so like, I don't know. Like, I think it can just be in and of itself a chill thing.
Yeah. I've had it with people that I've broken up with, but have been like, oh, I would still like to have like sex with this person. Yeah. And so I don't put weight on it as like a thing.
But that doesn't mean they're not going to.
Yeah. And that's where things have gotten complicated. Yeah. And then I've also had it with people where I like, we had broken up, but then, and years had gone by, but then we were brought back together, but under circumstances where I really still had feelings that I wasn't being forthcoming about.
Yeah,
and like, and they were probably like, we'll just like see what happens. Like, I don't want to make any promises. And me being like, yeah, I'm cool with that. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Same.
When it's absolutely not cool.
Yeah.
So I think you just have to be like protecting yourself. And if you really want more and you want to be in a relationship with someone and they're giving you signs that they're saying like, I don't want to be in a relationship, then I think you owe it to yourself
to not be with them
sexually, because it's like going to blur. You're just denying what your true feelings are.
It is true that like,
because they're not, I think it's doubtful that they're going to change their mind and be like, I don't think anyone is going to fuck anyone and then decide, no, I actually love this person and like want to be with them. Like, that's just not how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
What were you going to say? Sorry, I cut you off.
Oh no, I don't know. Oh, I was gonna say, it just makes you less available to new opportunities, which is like a balancing act I'm always curious about. Like, how do I, if I want to make change with a certain area of my life, like, do you have to like eliminate all the people that occupy, or all the things that occupy one part to make room? I don't know that you necessarily have to, but it is commonly thought so, you know what I mean? Like, can you meet a great new guy while fucking your ex? Like, maybe, but maybe not, because you're actually using that as like a surrogate relationship, you know?
Yeah, like the politics of like having to balance that person in your life, like, even especially if it's someone that you have feelings for, you're kind of holding a candle for secretly.
Yeah.
Like, that's gonna come before any new dick opportunity.
Yeah. I still have one ex that I'm like scared to see, because I feel like the sexual attraction is very real.
Yeah.
And I'd like to keep that case closed.
That's
and I
good.
Wouldn't cheat, but like,
but I mean, there's all sorts
of, I
want to
be sure of that.
Crossing a line.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, me just thinking about it, it's crossing the line, because it's like in its own way a fantasy.
Yeah. Oh my God, I need to give like a toe update, because I've gotten a lot of messages from people about, and It seems like a lot of people's toenails have fallen off when they've been in my situation.
Yeah.
And so far, mine are still very bruised and attached. But they have these parts of them that look like it's like they're separating. Yeah. And I don't know what to do. And I can't handle like a double toe nail fall off. That's not what I saw on my vision board for 2018.
With the Birkenstocks.
With the Birkenstocks. I'm like, literally, I need to get a whole all new shoes now. Because I just wear Birkenstocks.
Those closed toe ones you mentioned.
I'm going to get the closed toe or just like wear socks with Birkenstocks. What am I going to do? At least it's like kind of close to winter. So it would be over the winter.
Oh my God. Our winter here is so insane. You're right. You should wear Uggs next week.
I mean, that, or I'm going to have to truly get like a gel fake nail pedicure for 6 months until.
Look how my toe is permanently removed on the sides.
Why is it like that?
Because it was bothering me. You had it ingrown? Yeah. And so they poisoned the edges of my toe, my right big toe.
And now you just have a teeny thin toenail.
Yeah, but look at my other toenails too. They're pervertedly tiny.
They're tiny, but they're proportional. Then
yeah,
you
not
have
that
the
one.
Then you have a tiny Tim toe.
I know. It's actually like a fat toe because it's like a small nail, which only makes the toe more.
The optical
like,
illusion.
It's pretty interesting.
I can't.
Are you afraid to get a pedicure with those toes?
Yeah, because I'm afraid someone had written in that like they had a similar thing happen, but then it was like bacteria from like unclean pedicure tools then got under, then made it worse. And so I'm just like, I don't want to fuck with that. So now I'm just trying to like casually rock these like two bruised toenails. I'm afraid to like paint them. Maybe I could paint them. I just don't like touching my feet.
Your own feet.
Yeah, I don't love it. I do it
like
to just
lotion on my feet because I feel like it's dirty.
Yeah, it's like you need to.
Even if I just bathe, I still have to like walk or put my foot on something to get to the next place. And then it's like,
I need an Elton John type of servant to carry me from the bathroom where I would bathe and lotion my feet to my bed.
Yeah.
And then so my feet don't touch the floor or another surface.
They would feel so good.
Then they would feel great.
Have you ever done Babyfoot?
Yeah, it grossed me the fuck out.
You should do that with your toe.
No, that would actually, like, I could see myself peeling
Please
skin off.
Please write in if you had an amazing baby foot.
The
experience.
Baby foot was so nasty. At first,
that's a conspiracy.
Baby foot is a true conspiracy that I'm a truther of that it doesn't do anything except gross you out. Because you put your feet.
No, mine did wonders.
Yours did wonders? You put your baby foot, for any readers who are not familiar, is this like, I think it's like a Japanese type of like exfoliating foot regime where you put these like gel booties on your foot for like 15 minutes. Uh-huh. Then you take them off and then within a week you shed all the skin on your feet to reveal the baby foot that's underneath. But it literally is just like your skin on your foot falls
and
off in your shoes.
Sometimes it gets really loose. They recommend you don't wear like open-toed shoes during that week.
Yeah.
And the thing that's cool about it is it doesn't start right away. So it's not like, oh, within the course of the week, it'll all slosh off.
No.
It like takes a week to begin sloshing off.
Then you just live with lizard scale feet.
Pull on it and it'll be like you just pull on a little tug and then your whole heel comes off of skin. And honestly, I felt like I had a baby foot revealed to me that I never thought possible. Like, my feet get really dry quickly. And, like, I'm a groomed bitch and I hate the bottom of my feet.
Yeah. My feet.
They look pretty chill.
They're pretty chill. They could use some TLC. But, like, a baby foot journey was not. I was like, when is this going to stop? I was like, what is this? Like, I thought it was.
It makes you feel really dry. Like, it doesn't feel like a moisturizing, like.
No.
It makes you feel worse, but then it has cool results or cool, at least, chemistry.
TBD. Yeah. I was like, I've been literally shedding layers of skin for like a week and a half. And what if this never stops? And I just like have skin falling off my feet forever. And then it did. And I was like, wow, I'm never doing that again.
I know. I love whatever reader said that I reminded them of Thumper. That's so cute.
Thumper. You are like a little thumper.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Lara and friends. I'm writing you tonight as a longtime reader because I'm a little tipsy and this is the only thing keeping me from writing a long dramatic text to my ex. Today ended our 3-year friendship, two of which we were dating, because he started dating someone else and I truly cannot handle it. They've been friends for a couple of months and I could see the relationship forming, but he continued to deny it until today when we hung out and he admitted to me that they kissed for the first time a few days ago. He was celibate for almost 3 years before we got together, so I know how big a step this was for him. When he told me, I proceeded to throw a pillow at his face and run to my bedroom where I locked the door and yelled at him to leave immediately. We had a long, sad, come to Jesus conversation after I got over myself where we discussed our relationship. I was more in love with him than he was with me. And I prodded him about his developing one, which he can see going somewhere serious. A true troll, considering that exact question prompted one of our multiple breakups. A part of me is happy for him, but it hurts a lot to see someone who could never fully commit to me begin this process with someone else. In spite of everything, he's remained one of my closest friends, put up with a lot of my shit, and was my first real love. I'm deeply sad about this overdue ending, but my biggest issue is that I'm afraid of babying out in his absence. I deleted his contact info and our message and call history, but TBH, I have his number memorized, and I'm dying to make him suffer, which is maybe one of the stages of grief. How do I stop myself from stabbing the both of us with this double-edged sword? I have a pretty babe history with him in times of turmoil, including leaving his stuff on his porch with no note, crying while eating pizza, and walking to my apartment after an argument with him, lol, and smashing a glass dildo he got for me outside of his house. Also, I'm deeply trolled because his future girlfriend is truly not cute, and I can't decide whether this is a good thing, I'm hotter, or a bad thing. He likes her personality more, and that's the darkest journey of all. Love and light.
I relate to that part.
I hate that part for you, because that is a troll.
Yeah.
As petty as that is, and how, like, it still is always a thing that you compare.
It also just feels extra annoying, because it makes you feel like, I don't know, maybe, like, ashamed for worrying about how hot you ever were to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I felt.
Well, I think it's also becomes, like, this other reason to, like, practice like self-hatred, because you're like, God, well, I'm hotter, so like, what is wrong with me?
Exactly.
And it's like, it really is not about that, and it's never about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it seems like,
I think it's good that you're ending that friendship.
Totally, because it's like, what is the friendship if it's a relationship that's not happening? You know what I mean? Like, if that really is what the friendship is, like,
and if you're harboring more feelings for him, like, clearly this friendship is kind of loaded, because it's in the hopes that, like, oh, maybe something could happen again, or it's hurtful when he's moved on to someone else, then...
What was your expectation?
Yeah. And it's good to just, like, delete that.
Yeah. At the same time, if you really are friends, it is just, like, dramatic to delete the number, right? Because you already know it. Like,
yeah.
I do that kind of stuff too. Like,
oh, I love a delete.
I block everyone, delete everyone. But like, if you actually think, these people that we get all riled up with, like, whether we're with them or we just want to be their friend, clearly they're like causing some big thing for us.
Yeah. I had a similar situation where I got, like, my college love of my life boyfriend on the motorcycle was... We broke up after like 2 years, and then like a year went by, and we were kind of on and off in touch. It was long distance. And then he decided to come to LA, and he was going to come with his best friend, and they were going to stay at my apartment. And I had a roommate at the time. And so it was going to be kind of fine, because it was like a group of us.
Yeah.
But then his friend bailed on the trip. My roommate decided she was going to go to Vegas that weekend. So it ended up just being him and I.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, like, this is the moment. Like, we're going to get back together, and like, blah, blah, blah. And it just stirred up all these feelings seeing him again. And then it was like, he wanted to sleep on the couch. Like, he said that he was like dating someone else, and it was just, it truly, I was tortured. Ooh. I was having like nervous breakdowns. I was waking up in the morning crying. I was like on my bathroom floor crying at one point, crying in the shower, crying like blow drying my hair, then like giving him the silent treatment, being like, I have to run errands. And like, it was just awful. I like cried in a restaurant about it, and like, it was just like, that's not a friendship.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
And then finally, after like trying to keep up this like friendship with like chill talks on the phone after that whole situation, which also ended with us finally like having a come to Jesus conversation and then go like spending the whole next day together going on a hike and like watching movies. And it felt like, oh, this is how we're it together. Felt when we were in a yeah. relationship. And then we slept in the same bed together and like didn't nothing happen, but it was like, okay, clearly like lines are crossed.
Yeah.
It's like then I tried to just be like chill for the next like month and then realized I was like heavy duty torture. Yeah. And then finally I was like, I really can't talk to you anymore because like this hurts too much to like have you in my life like this.
Do you talk to him at all now?
No, I mean, and then we got to, 2 years went by and then we kind of had like a reuniting, seeing each other, and that was really painful. And I handled that like a babe ass bitch.
Yeah.
And so then things were left in like a really bad place. So
yeah.
It's someone I think about a lot in terms of like, I would love to have a conversation to just be like, this is who I am now.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sorry for the way everything shook out. And like, not like we're going to be friends, but just like get to a place where it's like neutral forgiveness, like namaste, live, laugh, love.
Totally.
So that's like something I think about doing. But I also think that that would kind of torture me. And that's why I would want to do it. So we'll see.
Oh, yeah. It's retrograde right now. So maybe some of our exes will appear in our lives.
Yeah, that's always a thing.
I was eating on Fairfax before I came here and thinking, hoping not to run into anyone.
On Hypebeast Central.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all
that I fucked obsessed
I live
with rare clothing.
Right next to like Fuckboy Alley.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bunch of 12-year-olds now, like,
yeah,
cosplaying them.
But yeah, I think let it go.
Let it go. Let it go.
Write us emails.
Please.
Babepodcast@gmail.com.
I love how someone wrote my name in the email, too. That made me feel really seen.
Address Tierney
and
personally.
Part of the community.
Ask her questions.
I'm here to be a vessel for the babes. Like, I know it seems like I talk a lot about myself, but
that's what this is about.
I really want to be a thought leader.
You are a thought leader. THOT. Yeah.
Yes.
Follow us on Babe Podcast or follow us on Instagram @Babe Podcast. If you want to give money to this podcast, you can do that by going to patreon.com/Babe Podcast and you can get bonus episodes there or join the Babe Book Club, which is a monthly book club that I just launched as of yesterday.
Yes.
And there's just like a lot of opportunities to enmesh yourself in this wonderful community. So
Thank God. Take advantage.
Why don't you?
Please.
And we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye. Babe?
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code Program.